For the last 3 weeks, we've been engaging in literally taking a look at some of what we would consider the seminal doctrines and teaching of the church. First of all, 3 weeks ago, we did Pentecost, and that's literally the church. We, being proclaimed as the body, with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, coming down upon us, animating us, in bestowing upon us life, so that in this world we become representatives of Christ. We become Alter Christi, other Christs in the world, with a mission to go out, preach, teach, baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Last Sunday we delved into the great mystery of the Trinity, the identification of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, calling people together to bring them an understanding that we are called to a communion with our God. We are called to be embraced, that this is our ultimate mission in life, begins with the Trinity and is culminated in the Trinity, a Trinity which has no beginning and has no end. When delving into the identity of that love which is at the very heart, generated literally God's love for us. And today, at the very heart, is what feeds us in life, what feeds us on the journey. And that, of course, is the celebration of the great mystery of the Eucharist, Jesus Christ giving himself for us as food for that journey in this world. Food which sustains us and gives us life. So really, when you take a look at all three, it's about life. It's about the life of the church, about the life of the Trinity. It's about our life in this world to be fed and sustained so that we might be fulfilled in the love of God. So when we take a look and approach basically the Eucharist, we have to understand that very many of us, when we come here, we have different lenses on. We look upon that Eucharist in different ways. The church very, very truthfully declares this is the real presence of Jesus Christ. However, when we take a look at it, we kind of have a sense of drawing that mystery into us differently. There are some that basically will approach the table of the Lord. And for them, it's the wonderful aspect of family and meal. It's the wonderful aspect of individuals coming around and sharing in the meal. That's the lens that we can use approaching that. For others, we take a look, and as you can see, it's an altar. And upon the altar, the sacrifice is slain. Jesus Christ, who is the victim, he is the Lamb of God, and we proclaim that right within the liturgy. And basically is slain. And the blood becomes a reconciling aspect that brings us and helps us atone for our sins and draws us into the love of God. It's not either or, it's both and. The reality is, it is the table of the Lord. And it is fashioned to create us as family coming around to place our needs. And every one of us has an aspect of family, and I'm sure every one of us has in some way an aspect of family around the dinner table or around the breakfast table or around the table in some manner. In my home, that table was always kind of the center. It was the center for welcoming people. It was always the center for basically a conversation, for anything that was going to be shared by the family. In my home, there was always the pot of coffee on the oven, and then there was always the coffee cake or the pound cake that was off to the side. And throughout the day, there'd be visitors that basically would come in. It might be neighbors, it might be relatives, it might be friends, but everybody sat at that table with the cup of coffee and the pound cake and shared whatever they needed to share. It could be just about what the happenings of the day, or it could be some profound event that was happening in their life. It was an understanding of the relationship which was drawn together by that table, by basically the food that was shared. And of course, the family meal time was always one where anything significant was shared with all the rest of the family and its members, communicated in a very special way of what was happening in the depths of one being so that one could be brought into the life of the others, and so that the family basically could be celebrated. And in my home, there was always a place for someone else. So if an unexpected guest or a visitor occurred, they were always invited to the table. They were always invited in. You just never went away hungry, because it wasn't proper to treat the people that you loved, that you cared about, without feeding them. Take a look at that lens when we look at the table of the Lord. You take a look at all of us being drawn together as family, sharing wherever we are with our Lord, who freely gives himself over to us as food to sustain us. When you take a look at the other aspect of sacrifice, we look at that family meal and we start to delve into it and to think in terms of what it takes in order to prepare and set the table. And we don't often do that. That's why the wisdom of the church is so great when it has us stop and celebrate Corpus Christi Sunday. It has us stop and take a step back, and rather than just go through the routine of coming here on Sunday, of receiving the Lord, of going in there, but to stand back and to understand how profound it is, the action that we are engaging in, how profound that is. We don't even kind of think about it because we can't live on that level even in terms of family. So when we take a look at that family table and we take a look what's prepared, we're not sitting down and calculating the fact of who it is that's sacrificing their time and effort to put the food on the table, of the work that goes in to be able to produce that, of the time, of the effort. Thornton Wilder had a presentation called Our Town. And in Our Town, basically, the 16-year-old girl, who now is in the throes of her death, is allowed to go back and to take a look at her life. And so she chooses to go back at her 16th birthday. You know, wonderful time in a young woman's life and a young person's life, 16th birthday, coming of age. And so she's allowed to kind of go through her birthday, that 24 hours. And she suddenly, one of the things that she's taken back to is she's taken back to the breakfast table where Dad is there and Mom is there, is preparing. And as she comes back as a spirit and she sees literally all the whole family engaging with one another, all the whole family kind of expressing basically their love in almost a routine way, she can't take it. Pull me out of here. I can't take it. Because overwhelming is the mystery that she is just a part of. Overwhelming in her life is basically the love that sweeps over her and that she sees now through those special eyes. She sees the mystery which is there. We take a look at our own family tables. We take for granted because we're there with each other. But what's being celebrated is the love and the relationship and the depth. We too, in terms of the Eucharist, when we take a look at that Eucharistic altar, we understand that the food that's being placed upon there is Jesus himself, his body, his blood. And he's offering himself to us for food for the journey in this life. So we take a look, the church again, in its wisdom, takes a look and asks us to step back and take a look at those different lenses that we use to approach that Eucharist and to understand and to celebrate the great mystery and the teaching that's offered to us, the great understanding of the real presence of Jesus. Now, I say real presence, I want to emphasize that. It doesn't matter what you think about the Eucharist. It doesn't matter what I think about it. It is. And what it is the real presence of Christ. And although we can go through our lives in terms of taking a look at routine, talking about a memorial, talking about symbol, it is Christ offering himself to us. And then ourselves understanding, taking him into our lives and allowing ourselves to be formed and fashioned by it. In a real way, it doesn't always impact upon us that aspect of the Eucharist. In the priesthood, I was fortunate enough to be a professor, a teacher, and so therefore I would have a number of students. And most of the time, these students were always kind of going through basically a sense of discerning priesthood, whether or not as seminarians they basically should continue on. And, you know, as would be, as you would think it would be, there would be those who would think, yep, I think priesthood is my vocation, but in their second or third year, they decide to drop out and decide to go elsewhere. There was one young man who came in, basically the seminary was a part of the experience. I was his teacher, along with a number of basically students. About his second year, he decided, no, that's not for him. But a real person of faith, in a sense of really loving both his classmates and those people that surrounded him, and really a profession of his own faith in life. Well, it so happened that about 3 years after he'd left, he was diagnosed with an incurable disease. He went through chemo, he went through all sorts of basically testing, but it was very obvious that this young man who established, once he left the basically seminary, established very successful basically business, was dying. When it got to the point where literally he was bedridden, those classmates that stayed close to him contacted me and said, Father, would you come in and would you celebrate the Eucharist for us with him? And I said, sure, I'd be glad to. And so he had decided that he wanted to choose the readings. Interesting. You know, most of us, we don't get a chance to choose our readings unless we're really pre-planning our own. But he said, no, I want to choose the reading. And the gospel context he took was the proclamation of the Eucharist in John's gospel. I am the bread of life. I'm the bread of life. And so therefore, it gave me an opportunity, you know, what I thought was to wax eloquent at the homily, you know, to offer, you know, basically my insights. But the best insight, as I opened it up for basically people to reflect upon the gospel and the readings, was given by literally this young man. And he said, I chose this gospel in a particular way because every time I would go to the Eucharist, I would be receiving Jesus. But the words would not hit me like they have within the last 6 months. I am the bread of life. If you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, you're receiving his life and his love. And he said, within that period of time, he understood how he was called upon to share that life, that testimony, and that witness with those that surrounded him. His family loved him, his friends cared for him, and the world, which needed Jesus, was brought Jesus through him. By his receiving Jesus' life, he knew that life was assured him, and it should not be ignored in this world. The great mystery should be embraced. Today, the church asks us to embrace that great mystery, to take and be fed at the table as family, to acknowledge his life and the sacrifice of love he's given to us, and help form and fashion us to make his presence known to the world so it too may embrace life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.